What do you want? That question's asked in a lot of different ways. I text it to my kids at long about October. What do you want for Christmas? And then sometimes I remember when my children were little and they'd come tugging with a question, and then they'd want something else. And about the fifth time, I'd say, "What do you want?" Jesus asked that question. He asked it more than once. He asked it quite a few times. In fact, it's one of the questions that he asked most frequently. What do you want? In Matthew 20, verse 31, in Matthew 20, verse 32, Jesus stood still and called them, saying, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Sometimes we're afraid to ask that question of people because they might tell us. Well, it's a longer passage that I'm going to read to you in a moment, but if we take just that question out of the text, which is a very dangerous thing to do, I don't recommend it normally, unless you go back and look at the whole passage. To lift one verse out is dangerous because you don't know what's surrounding it. You don't know what the situation was, what the story was. But let's just take a look at the question for a moment. What do you want? If you just look at that question, there are several possible meanings to it. It's possible that Jesus was irritated with people, just the way I was with my kids when they would tug once too often. What do you want? But there's another possibility. Maybe Jesus wanted them to do some self-examination. Obviously, anytime Jesus asked a question, he knew the answer. He knew everything. Jesus is God. God is omniscient. That means knowing everything. So he already knew the answer. He didn't ask the question for information. So then why did he ask questions? Often it was to make people think. And the question certainly makes us think, doesn't it? It seems that the older I get, the more content I am. My list of things that I want is much shorter now than it was when I was 40. Shorter than when I was 30, 20. If somebody, I'm much more interested in what my kids want for Christmas, and it's very hard for me to tell them what I want. There isn't much I want except their presence with me. But no matter what age you are, if you had to make a list of your wants to give to God, it would be quite different than a Christmas wish list that you would give to a family member, wouldn't it? At least I hope it would, because God's able to deliver so much more than your mom, your dad, your cousin, your spouse. So the list should be different. What do you want makes us stop and think. Deep down, what do I want? Soul deep. What do I want? What do I want from life? And what do I want is different from what do I need. Needs are different from wants. Needs are basic. Wants are desires. There's a difference. And the other thing that Jesus wanted was for them to understand the consequences. He wanted them to go deep and to understand that there are consequences to asking for and getting what you want. Sometimes I believe that God stops us and says, "What do you want?" and doesn't deliver it until we really think about what might be the ramifications after receiving it. Now let's go back and look at this story and see which or all of those three things he might have been asking. This story in Matthew 20 is subtitled, "Jesus Heals Two Blind Men." As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. There were two blind men sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd sternly ordered them to be quiet, but they shouted even more loudly, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David." Jesus stood still and called them, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." Let our eyes be opened. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Okay, now, in the context of this story, which of these three possible meanings would there be to the question? Jesus was irritated with them? Might have been. They'd called out to him several times as he was passing by. He had to stop to deal with them. Might have been. Sometimes I think God gets impatient with us and our constant demands. Sometimes. The Bible certainly shows times when God was irritated with people, especially Job. Did Jesus want them to realize their underlying motivation? Well, he at least wanted them to clearly state what they wanted from him. Open our eyes. Now, when we read that in English, it has several potential meanings, doesn't it? One of my favorite hymns is, "Open the eyes of my heart." Now, these were blind men, so clearly they wanted to see. But you can see without noticing. You can see without noticing. You can have 20/20 vision and not notice things all around you. Not notice the person in front of you who seems to be having a bad day. Not notice the lovely bulletin board on the way out of the sanctuary because you're talking with other people. Not notice. Some people are oblivious to things happening even in their own family, sometimes because they don't want to see them. Don't want to see the pain, the drug addiction, the loneliness, because then they might have to do something about it. "Open our eyes," they said to Jesus, and he opened them. I think he also wanted them to think about the consequences of being healed. They've been blind for a very long time. We don't know how long, it doesn't say. When you're healed, you have to get used to living differently. Oh, of course it's pleasant. Of course it's nice to be able to see. But in addition to seeing the beauty all around them, what else would they see? They'd see dirt. In addition to seeing people beautifully dressed, they would see the poor. In addition to beautiful sights, they would see the ugliness of the world. People ask me all the time, why doesn't God answer my prayers? And the real answer is that God sees the bigger picture and we don't. God sees the ramifications of the request that we make. God sees it all. Oh, I remember when I was young and I prayed for God to send just the right man into my life who would be a partner for life. Anybody remember praying for that? Maybe you prayed for the right woman. Not knowing that the ramification of that is that then you have to make a decision every day to love and to love well. Once it happens. I remember when we couldn't have children, and I prayed and prayed, Lord, well, actually I got mad at God. How come you're giving kids to people who don't take care of them, but I didn't get any? Not knowing that once I had them, I'd be up all night. We don't see the bigger picture. God does. Oh, God answers prayer. Jesus healed the blind men, whether they saw the ramifications or not. This frequent question that Jesus asked is found also in Mark 10, verse 36. James and John came to him and they said, Lord, grant our request. And he said, what do you want? And they said, we want to be seated at your left and your right hand. Actually, their mother put them up to it. Their mother wanted her children to be seated at Jesus' right and left hand and to have the most important positions. You know, when you sit next to somebody, you can talk to them. You can get the down low. You're close to them. You have influence over them. So being seated at somebody's right and left hand, those are the most important positions. And Mom wanted that for James and John. What do you want from me? He asked them. What do you want me to do for you? And they answered him and told him. They had no clue what the ramifications would be. He said to them, can you suffer my fate? Can you go where I'm going? Can you do what I'm going to do? They didn't know that they were asking to die with him, to be resurrected with him. They didn't know what they were asking. You know, so much of the time, we treat God like Santa Claus and make a long wish list. Lord, do this and that and the other thing for me. We do it in the pastoral prayer every Sunday. But we also take time to thank God. Thanking God is so much more important than stating that wish list because it reminds us of what God's already done for us. There is no point in making a long wish list for God unless we remember what God's already done for us. Why would you ask somebody for more if they'd never delivered anything in the first place? You wouldn't, would you? But the most important prayer is the thing that we do the least often. The most important thing is to listen. We spend less time listening for God's answers than we do asking for stuff. So we're going to spend some time with that today. In fact, right now, listening for God. Prayer is practicing the presence of God. And so if we're going to practice God's presence, then we better listen for his answers. And what if the answer is no or not yet? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked them over and over and over again. And still asks us today, what do you want me to do for you? Go deep, children of God. Ask for your deepest desire, and there will be an answer. Ask now. Let's pray. Lord, that we know that you answer prayer. We know that you always have. And we know that often the answers are not what we want to hear. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear right now. Open our hearts. Open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us. Speak your message to us. You ask, what do you want me to do for you? As each of us pours out his or her heart to you, we know that you listen. We're not comfortable with silence. We want to fill it with words. Help us to learn to listen for you. Help us learn how to see you daily. Everywhere we go and in every person we meet. Help us listen for words you speak to us through others. Out of the mouths of babes and the elderly. Speak to us on signboards and television, on the internet and the radio. Speak to us through our children, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our friends, and yes, Lord, speak to us through our enemies, through those who despise us, through those who irritate us. Speak to us your very heart, that we might go where you are already at work in the world and join you there. Speak to us so that when you ask us what we want, our deepest answer will be to do your will. Speak to us so that when you ask the question, what do you want me to do for you? our answer will be to be one with your spirit, Lord. Make me one with your spirit. Speak to us so that when you ask, what do you want me to give you? The answer is your heart. To see the world as you see it and do what you do and love as you love. So that this Valentine's Day, the heart of Jesus will be made known in the world. And the world will be transformed. Thanks be to God.